would, grab your Bible and stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. If you have your Bible, say amen. Okay, I guess that includes your Bible phone, your iPad, whatever you got it on. And we're glad that you have that with you. You need to get familiar with your Bible. It is our sword that we fight the enemy with, who is the spirit of darkness that is around us trying to destroy. Galatians chapter 6, we'll read verses 6 through 10. This will also be the passage that we'll look at this morning for the text. Let's read. The one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you that they are true and that they are alive. We thank you that we have been given this book that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, and we understand how it can apply to here the church in Montgomery County. And I ask that you would give us ears to hear what you want to say to us, Lord, and that we would receive your word of truth today. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house today, there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place in being a minister of your word. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we got this message in Galatians, and we got one more message in the book of Galatians, and then we will be through the book of Galatians. And everybody said, No. It was supposed to have been, oh, so soon. I mean, come on. Oftentimes we will pick a book of the Bible and we'll go straight through it, try to digest that and kind of get what's God wanting us to say. And so I hope it's been a blessing to you, and that you would continue to read through the book and hear what God wants to say to us. So we're gonna be wrapping up soon, and Paul is writing some practical lessons here at the very end. And he begins in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. He says, the one who has taught the word, which would be who? The one who has taught the word would be you all, right? It says, the one who has taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. This is would be the pastors. Now, I won't spend a whole lot of time speaking on one category of this message because it seems a little somewhat self-serving in this. But here's the biblical reason and the biblical evidence that it is a good and wise thing to support and pay pastors for the work of God. You know, some of you might have grew up in a tradition or some type of a denomination where they thought that you should not pay preachers to preach. You don't pay preachers. How many of y'all grew up in that kind of a background? Anybody? One, two, three. I'm surprised that there's not as many that say that. I grew up in Fairview Baptist Church, which is our sponsoring church for this church, and it was always a really good church, and we always had pastors there. And I lived across the street from a man whose son actually went to our church, but he didn't go to that church, and he just thought that was the worst thing that you could do was to pay a preacher. And so here we see that the one who's teaching ought to receive that. Jesus said in Luke that the laborer is worth his wages. And Paul in 1 Corinthians is talking about how if we are sowing and we are giving and we are investing in spiritual things for your benefit, is it not right that we should receive also material benefits from you? Paul was a church planter, and oftentimes Paul would be bivocational. There are bivocational pastors, and that's not a bad thing. And it can be good in times and ministries and things that's needed at that time. And so what he would do is sometimes he would be a tent maker, and he would not receive any support from the churches that he was ministering to. Then other times he would receive support from the churches that he was ministering to so that he could fully carry out the work that God called him to do. The reason for all of this is to say this, that what we need to do as a church, what is helpful to the kingdom, is to support the kingdom of God. Now, here's what you need to know. As we take up offering here and you put money in that offering bag, you are giving your tithes and offerings to God through His church. That all that money doesn't get to me. It doesn't get to John, okay? We are very frugal in how we use our money here, because what that money goes to is to further the mission of the kingdom of God. Most churches have about 50% of their offerings that come in go to help support staff. Ours is less than 30%. And so we do a really good job. We manage our money really well. Those who are directors, and they know me, those who have been around for a long time, they know how hard sometimes it is just to get money to make a purchase of something, because we want to make sure that we're using every dime that we get to further the mission of the kingdom. So we invest a lot in our children. We invest a lot of money in our kids here. Our Awana program is expensive. Our children's church curriculum stuff is expensive. We buy things constantly. Eric was here in the first service talking about needing help on Saturday to help continue this wall. How many of you all, since coming here at this church, you've seen an ongoing project happening about the whole time you've been here? Okay? Yeah, isn't that neat? That's exciting. It takes money. It takes money to do that. Lowe's doesn't give that to us for free. And so it takes money to do that, and it takes a lot of work. And so we have about 6,000 more square feet on this side of the wall, the dividing wall, that we need to fit up. And then after we get that fit up, we got another 30,000 square feet under roof in this building that we need to continue to finish up. So we will be in a building project for a very long time here at this church. Isn't that exciting? Huh? Isn't that exciting? And so we give a lot to missions. We give a lot to groups. We bless a lot of people. We bless this community in a lot of ways. And all of that is to advance the kingdom of God. And so when you are sowing into the kingdom, you're investing into the kingdom, you're able to invest and partake in something that's changing lives eternally. What we do here as a church is something that the world cannot do. Okay? Now, he says that the man who sows, the one who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. The one who sows generously will reap generously. And he tells us that there's two areas of fields that we can sow in. We can sow into the flesh, or we can sow into the world. So let's continue to read as we go through this. Do not be deceived, he says. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also what? Reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So there's two fields here. There's the field of the flesh on this side. There's the field of the Spirit on this side. Okay? And he says that when we sow into the Spirit, when we sow into the kingdom of God, we will reap eternal things. When we sow into the flesh, when we sow into our fleshy nature, into the world, all we will reap is corruption. It will not last. And so we have a choice. We have a choice with our finances, how we're going to sow. We have a choice with our time, how we're going to sow that. We have a choice with our talents, how we will use that and sow that. And when we sow in the Spirit, then we can invest in the kingdom. We will grow eternal things. Fleshy things, corruption. Now, how many of y'all have ever sown into the kingdom of Nike? Anybody? I've sown in the kingdom of Nike. How many of y'all have sown into the kingdom of Applebee's? Huh? Applebee's. All right, some of you ain't raising your hand, and maybe I just hadn't hit your particular thing yet. But you've sown into the kingdom of the mall. Have y'all ever been down to this temple? It's in Lexington. And there's all types of false gods throughout there that we pay homage to and spend our money to and give to. You bought that nice shirt, that nice new shirt, and then you're walking out of your room, of the room, or you're getting out of the car or something, and there's a hook or something that's there that you don't see, and your clothes get hung on it, and rip. You all ripped a nice new shirt. And before, it's like, oh, man, really? Really? Or you get a nice pair of shoes, and then the day you get your new shoes, it rains. And you're like, trying to walk around, not getting them dirty, right? You know? But I'm telling you, every pair of shoes that you get will wear out. Every shirt will fade. Everything that you can invest in this world may have a temporary gain, may have a momentary pleasure, may have a momentary benefit, but it will corrupt. It will not last. Do you understand? Everything that you do for the kingdom lasts forever and ever. When you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest in people's lives, when you share the good news of Jesus, when you share and bless and use your the benefits that you have to be an encouragement to other people spiritually, man, you're investing in their lives. Church, we're investing in the lives of children, and children are coming to know the Lord. That's eternal things that money can't buy. That's a sowing a seed that you're using that you could give to the world, but now you're giving to God, and it's going to help people understand who Jesus is, and they're going to be saved forever. Now, where can you get that type of investment? You can't get it from the world. Some of you invest in the kingdom of Walmarts. Right? I mean, Walmart. Sorry. Depends on where you are, if it's Walmart or Walmart, right? So. But there is a kingdom of God that we are to sow into. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't fool God. You can't fool him. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows when you do things for the right reason and when you do things for selfish reasons. He knows when you're doing a ministry to be seen or when you're doing a ministry just to be a servant. He knows that. He will not be mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. So I'm gonna use this word reap, a different word. It means the same thing, and hopefully it'll help you to remember this. You ready? So whatever you sow, you will grow. Got that? See how clever that is? How that rhymes? You ready? So let's say that. Say that to your neighbor. Say, whatever you sow, you will grow. Whatever you sow, you grow. How many of y'all planted some tomato plants this year? Tomato plants? Anybody do some tomato plants? Tomato plants? Now, let me ask you, those of you who have planted some tomatoes, did you all use corn seed to get your tomato plants? Huh? No. Well, what about beans? Did you plant beans to get tomatoes? No. Why? Because whatever you sow is what you grow. Moms, you all of us maybe have done this once in our life. Maybe it was at a church. Maybe it was at a Sunday school class. Maybe it was at school, and we were making Mother's Day gifts, and they gave us a plastic cup. Or a styrofoam cup. And the teacher put dirt all in the cup. And then you came out and you may have wrote a note on the cup saying, Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mom. And you walk out and you give it to your mom and you're like, you know. And moms, how did you respond to that cup of dirt? Oh, isn't this so sweet? Oh. Now, why? Because there's what inside of that dirt? There's a seed that your little baby boy or girl planted. And if you water that, it's like, oh, it's so sweet. That's how moms are. You just are just neat people. Because guys get a cup of dirt, and we'd be like, not a good gift for a dad. But anyway, moms love it. Moms seem to love this stuff. And whatever the little seed was that you planted in that cup is what would grow, right? What you sow is what you will grow. So, he says, for the one who will sow into the field of the flesh You will reap corruption. Those who sow in the Spirit will reap or grow eternal things. Now, in chapter 5, Paul tells us some of the things that are of the flesh and some of the things that are of the Spirit. He says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify or carry out the desires of the flesh. So if we are planting and investing in spiritual things, in eternal things, we don't have time to be planting in fleshy, earthly things. Now, the earthly, fleshy things that we can sow in, he lists some of them, is immorality. Sexual immorality. That is of the world. That is of the flesh. And if you sow that seed, you will grow corruption. It will destroy your life. Teenagers, can I just challenge you right now? Save yourself till you are married. Save yourself till you're married. Wait. If you want your honeymoon to be special on that day, would you wait and trust God that His way of doing things is the right way? Ladies, my teenage ladies, girls, please, please, I beg you, hear me as your preacher, please. Don't let some pimple-faced boy ruin it for you. Do it God's way. Husbands, don't get on that chat room. Don't go. Don't take that phone call. Don't go on that quote unquote lunch date with that other woman. Don't do it. You're in danger of beginning to sow into the flesh, which will reap what? Corruption. He says immorality. He says idolatry, worshiping false gods, worshiping things that aren't God, that's sowing into the flesh, making your life all about you and what you can get. That is idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft. He says dissensions. He says arguments. He says gossiping, slandering, hate, bitterness, forgiveness, unforgiveness. All these things is of the flesh. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You will grow what you sow. You will grow what you sow. In the spiritual things, you grow, you're investing in letting the love of Jesus rule your heart, His peace, His joy, His patience, His self-control. How many of y'all believe that we need a little bit of self-control in this world today? We need some self-control, right? If you are sowing into the flesh, you will reap what you sow. I've made this observation. How many of y'all have made this observation? It's a lot easier to be negative than it is to be positive. Anybody else notice that? It's a lot easier to point out problems than be someone who fixes them. Don't you love those people? Coach, I'm sure you love those parent coaches out there. Well, coach, I tell you, if you would have done this or this and that, you would have won that game. Right? You love people or just point out, you know, like, well, I tell you what, this could have been done better. Yeah, okay, well, then how are you going to fix it? How are you going to be a help to it? You see, what the problem is we talk about the news a lot of times instead of the news, capital T-H-E. The gospel is the good news. We like to talk about the news, and most of the news we talk about is not very positive. It's not very good, right? I mean, we're set up in a world and culture like that. We read the newspaper, and how much of that is negative news? A bunch. You watch the news on television, and you get what? A lot of negative stuff, okay? Some people ask me, are we living in the last days? The answer is yes, we're living in the last days. The Bible says that ever since the moment Jesus ascended back to the Father and sat at the right hand of God until His coming back, that's considered the last days. Okay? So He's coming back. We don't know. It could be tomorrow. Yeah, it could be next week. I don't know. But He's coming back. So we're living in the last days. And so what our goal must be as believers in Christ is not to get caught up in the flesh and sowing into the flesh, but to begin sowing into the Spirit. Eternal things that truly matter, that really lifts up people to the truth of who Jesus is. Instead of going into work on Monday morning and complaining about everyone and everybody, what if you shared the good news of what it means to have a new life in Jesus Christ? What would that do? What would that do, husbands, if you began sowing into the Spirit, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church? How would that affect your marriage? Would that let you experience the heavenly thing that God has for you to experience? Investing in your children and raising them up, speaking life into them, not being overly critical and harsh and demanding, but speaking the words of the truth of who Jesus is, and speaking to your kids, God's going to use you to do great things. You keep following Him. Make good choices in life, son. Good choices have good consequences. Here's another observation I've made. This might see if any of y'all made it. Nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions anymore. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Oh, so-and-so, this is the reason why I'm not like this. Do not be deceived. Whatever a man, whatever a woman sows, that is what you will grow. If you sow bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, dissension, immorality, if you sow that, guess what? You will grow that in your life. But if you invest in the kingdom's work, in praying and serving and following and trusting and obeying, then you will reap the eternal benefits of what God has for you. Now, here's the problem, because we live in a microwave nation, right? How many of y'all remember when the microwave came out? We're going to date some of us are going, we're going to date ourselves. How many remember? I mean, that was the wildest thing, wasn't it? And remember, they warned you not to stand too close in front of it because they didn't know what the radiation was. And you'd punch your numbers in there. Doop, 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 doop. Hit start. You'd be. Burr. There we go. You're like, ah. We want stuff like this, right? Here's the thing. When you planted your tomato plants, those of you who were planting tomatoes this year, did you go out the next day and expect to see tomatoes? You didn't plant and water and then go like, what's wrong with this plant? No tomatoes. No, because it takes time. Now listen, what's true in the flesh is also true in the spirit. Sometimes you do not see the results of what you're planting until years down the road. That's why some of you get saved and you think God's gonna, you know, he's gonna change your life, but you have sown something in the flesh 5 years ago that now comes to you 15 years later, and then you're wondering what in the world's going on. God can forgive us of all of our sin, but sometimes there's consequences that we've got to live with for a very long time. That's why it's important, if you can start now young, not sowing into the flesh field, but sowing into the field of the Spirit. And once we are believers, we quit sowing into this field and begin sowing into the Spirit so that we will receive those and know how to handle when those come up. Do not be mocked. I mean, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't fool Him. You will grow what you sow. It takes longer. Some of you get frustrated because God doesn't answer your prayer. And you're like, well, this ain't working. You're like, I'm trying to sow into the Spirit, and I'm trying to sow into this field of the Spirit, and it ain't working. You're like, well, how long have you prayed? 2 days! Well, there's some things that you may pray for and so that it might take years to see that fruit. So don't grow weary. This next verse, he says, let us not lose heart. Let us not lose heart. Let's don't grow weary in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not what? Grow weary. You cannot quit. If you don't see the results right now, does that mean you quit sowing in the Spirit? No. You keep investing your time. You keep investing your energy. You keep investing your resources into the kingdom of the Spirit. and you know that there's going to be a harvest one day, and you're going to reap the benefits of all that work that you've done in this field of the Spirit, and those are going to be benefits that will bless you and others. Now, it was about a little over 10 years ago that we moved to Mount Sterling, and God planted us here to begin a church. And we started in our home, and we had a few people in our home, and we began casting a vision of what Living Water Church would look like. We met in the middle school a couple of Sundays, and then we got this storefront space that we began meeting in. And we was in the storefront, and we had about 30 folks in there, you know, and about 15 of them were kids, some students and things. And I was up on this, well, what could have fit in this, the storefront was about as big as a stage. You know, we had about 30 people, and I'm preaching, and we're talking about, you know, we're going to make a difference in Montgomery County, and we're going to just follow Jesus and try to let him be known. I'm saying all this stuff, you know, and preaching just as hard as I can, you know, as if there's 60 or 600, I don't care. I'm going to preach the same way regardless, okay? So the same stuff that we were saying there in the storefront, you know, we're still saying now, you know, we're gonna let people see the love of Christ. And there's a point, though, about a year and a half into that I started wondering, I don't know, man, I was getting worn down. I was getting weary. And the Lord spoke to me through this verse here. This verse changed my whole perspective, and it kept me going. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Me and Michelle talked about this, and this became a verse that just pushed me through and pushed us through. And we kept going. Eventually, Joshua Lane comes in here. We build the church on Grassy Lick, and we're there for 6 years. God does amazing things there, and then he opens up another window of blessing for us to move here, and man, we're seeing amazing things happen. I'm so glad that I didn't quit. I'm so glad that I didn't let the weariness and the worries and the stress of life and the world and the concerns and all of that choke that and keep me away from sowing into the Spirit. Because today's been a special day. I'll step aside as pastor just for a moment and speak as the father, if you don't mind. But today was a really special day to be able to baptize my son. It was about a year ago that Caleb came to me and he said, Dad, I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus. And I prayed with him. We prayed, called out to the Lord for him to come in his life, forgive him his sin, place his faith in him. I'm real cautious. I'm cautious as a pastor. I'm also a little cautious as a dad about our children making professions of faith, mainly because of my personal experience. You know, when I was in third grade, I saw my cousins go forward, and they got baptized, so I thought, hey, that's what I need to do, so that's what I did. And so I know the danger of sometimes children just getting baptized because they see people get baptized, and so I wanted to kind of make sure that in his heart he truly knew who the Lord was, and he'd given his life to Christ. So we prayed, and I just kind of left it at that for a while, and then he kept bringing it up. He said, Dad, when am I going to get baptized? Dad, when am I going to get baptized? Dad didn't even get baptized. I said, well, I tell you what, son. I said, we're going to have a birthday party for Micah here soon. And you talk to Nan and Pat. You talk to your mama and papa. You find out a day that they can be here because I know they'll want to be here for that. Didn't know if he would follow through with that or not. I mean, he's 10 years old, so that's kind of a responsibility on him. And so after the party's over, he comes up to me and says, the 24th. I said, what, 24th. He said, 24th. He said, August 24th, that's when I'm going to get baptized. And I said, cool. Now, this is neat to me. This, you know, it might not be neat for you, but it's neat for me. The Lord had just prepared and put on my heart to preach through the book of Galatians months ago, back in December. Okay. Of course, Caleb doesn't know what's next in the lineup, right? So when he said the 24th and I got the Bible out, I started looking at how the text is broken down and how I had my sermons laid out. It just so happened that this is the message that it fell on. I thought, wow, God, aren't you neat? Because about 10 years ago, I was getting weary, and I didn't know if this was going to work or not. But I'm so glad that I listened to the voice of God through His Scripture, and I didn't lose heart. Because today has been a neat day for me as a father to be able to baptize my son so that he could say to you all as a church, hey, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Parents, make sure that you're sowing the eternal things into your kids' lives. Invest in their spiritual development. Okay? As Christians, as believers, in all of our lives, our interactions with our friends, our family, our neighbors, all that, make sure that you don't grow weary in doing the right things. That you sow seeds of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of love, of joy. Okay? Don't hang on to the seeds of bitterness, anger, hatred, unforgiveness. It'll destroy you. It will reap corruption. So today, whatever God's saying to your heart, would you listen? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I just ask that you would just allow God to speak to you just for a moment. Would you ask Him, Lord, where have I been sowing? Have I been sowing in the field of my flesh? Or have I been sowing in the Spirit? And so this morning, would you allow God to do a heart check on you? And if you've been sowing more into the flesh than the Spirit, would you repent of that and say, I don't want to sow in that field because I know it just brings death. I need to sow in the Spirit that grows eternal things. Things that really matter. I need to sow into my prayer time, my reading time, my obedience. I need to obey when I hear God speak. Lord, all of us are here for maybe many reasons, but I know probably most of us are here because we want to worship you, God. And we want to sow into the field of the Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to overtake the flesh and crucify that flesh so that we may walk in your Spirit. God, give us that desire and that ability, Lord, to love you and serve you and follow you. For we know that whatever we sow, that will grow. And, Lord, we want a harvest of good things. Godly things, of eternal things, not things that corrupt, decay, and lead to death. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Let us be obedient to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's come. Whatever you need to do, would you do it this morning?
What can wash away?